One down, two to go here on this Thursday. We thank you so much for tuning in. Ken Rudolph, Jason Ross. My name is Damian Barling. Sources say Hassan Whiteside won't meet with the Los Angeles Lakers. He'll hold three meetings with the Miami Heat, Dallas Mavericks, and the Portland Trail Blazers. He'll be having those meetings in New York. We've heard quite a bit about Portland over the last few days looking at centers. Hassan Whiteside, I believe I read something about Portland being open to signing Dwight Howard to a short-term deal.
Ooh, that's interesting for them.
We didn't even get to Howard in our free agency discussion. We're going to hold that one off because I think there are some interesting options for him, and I stand by the one I gave the other day, Golden State. Well, we'll talk more about that. We got Three the Hard Way coming right now. I'll lead us off. Five-star recruit Terrence Ferguson will not enroll at Arizona. He was Sean Miller's prize five-star recruit. He instead will take his talents overseas. It's a move similar to the one made by Emmanuel Mudiay, who went seventh to Denver just a couple of years ago. They went to the same high school, Dallas Advanced Prep International. And I'm curious, we've seen it before with Brandon Jennings. Yeah. Might be a good question for Coach Calipari when he joins us at the bottom of the hour. Is there any chance that this becomes a trend for one and dones? It never really caught on after Brandon Jennings. A couple of guys did it. Wasn't a big flood of guys, but a couple of guys did it. Is this something we may start to see more of, where guys, instead of doing the one and done at college and pretend they're going to school, they instead head overseas, get some experience, make some money for a year, and then come back for the NBA draft?
I don't know. I think we maybe need to see someone do this and then become the number one pick and have great success where you go, oh, that's clear, good decision. They made some money. This league helped them grow. They're going to go number one to whatever team. Where Mudiay was good, went seventh. Brandon Jennings went, I think, ninth or tenth. I mean, some of these other guys that have done it. But I don't know enough about overseas basketball to say 1 year there is better than playing for Coach Calipari or for Coach K or for Coach Boeheim. I don't know that answer. So what I do know, it seems like college would be the better answer, but I don't fully feel qualified to.
Is it possible the lack of audience hurts?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the unknown. I mean,
absolutely.
It's,
yeah.
I can see Ben Simmons play against Kentucky and make my own opinions where this number one player might be playing against another team in Europe, and I go, are they good? Is this a good league? How many pros are here?
Right. I don't think it's – I'm with Jason. I mean, we're not really qualified to be able to say with utmost certainty, but I really don't believe it's going to eclipse what you can do if you go to University of Kentucky or you go to Duke or you go to any big school in this country. Also, didn't Mudiay not go to college because he had problems with his grades?
I'm pretty sure that was
part of the issue with him. That's
sure. Sometimes those things go away, though. I'm just saying, sometimes problems with grades will go away when you're entering a school for the right program.
Oh, right. Yes, that's true.
A question that one of the things as I was prepping for this interview with Calipari yesterday, I was thinking, and I was looking at Jamal Murray, and I have heard him talk so glowingly about Jamal Murray and how he thought he was possibly the best player in the draft, that he could go over Ben Simmons and he should go over Brandon Ingram. And if you remember, Kentucky got eliminated by Indiana. I think it was in the second round of the NCAA tournament. And I wondered, now obviously this didn't hurt Ben Simmons. And remember, Ben Simmons was the incumbent for that number one pick for the entire year. And then he was kind of dwindled away for a little bit and he was brought back. Okay, he's still the guy. But I wonder if Jamal Murray not having the form of the Final Four hurt him when it came to the draft. And I tie that back to the audience, right? If you don't have that audience, the biggest audience for college basketball of the year is the Final Four. Well, if you're playing overseas, you're not part of any of that. And you're really relying on scouts and GMs to see you over there.
Yeah, I think that helped, to your point, helped a guy like Buddy Hield.
Absolutely.
A lot of people more eyes on him, like, ooh, this guy's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, we're in agreement. What a bad question by me.
Okay.
Time that music hits, the three of us point at each other like, you going? I'm going. Yeah. You going? I'm going.
It's fun. Because we don't know until the mic is hot. And then we're like,
right.
Okay, you go. So let's take it to in a different direction, guys.
It's perfectly choreographed show we do here.
I want to go to, I want you to put your television producer hats on right now, all right? and you're going to do a reality show, and you have one athlete that you can choose, and I'm going to give you five to choose from. You only get to choose one. Of these five athletes, three of them are legends who recently retired, absolute legends who recently retired. One of them is having some problems. Another one of the other guys is having some problems, and then the other guy is super interesting. So here they go. If you were going to put on a reality show and you get one of these athletes, which one do you pick? Peyton Manning, Kobe Bryant, Derek Jeter, or Johnny Manziel. Last one, Marshawn Lynch.
Kobe Bryant.
Why?
I'm just intrigued by Kobe Bryant. I always have been. I'm curious. I'm legitimately curious what he's going to do next. Because he's obsessive. He's been obsessive about basketball for 20 years.
True.
You can't just stop being obsessive. He has to find something else to obsess over.
Right.
What is it going to be? Derek Jeter? Sure, it'd be fun to see what dates he's going on. Marshawn Lynch? I don't know that I'd even understand what he's, like, doing. Like, I don't even want to know what Marshawn Lynch is doing. And Johnny Manziel would just enable him more. I don't want to see that dude, period.
All right.
Putting on the producer hat?
Yes, sir.
I think it's Manziel.
Yeah?
Yeah. For me, but that stuff sells.
Right.
I mean, Jeter's my favorite name there. I think it would be kind of boring. Kind of. Right. I mean, and I love Jeter, and I could probably just watch him watching TV on the couch.
Unless it was Derek Jeter looking for love.
Yeah. Well,
and it was on HBO.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say Derek Jeter as The Bachelor.
Okay.
And that's the only way I would watch that ridiculously horrible show. But if it's Derek Jeter on The Bachelor, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to watch this for a minute to see what his game's all about. The fact that he has game and he kept it quiet for 20 years, that he dated everybody.
Is Derek Jeter married now?
He's getting married, right?
I don't know.
I thought he was.
I don't know anything about that. Until Derek Jeter is actually photographed with a bride and a ring and everything, I'm like...
In the baseball exchange.
Yeah, he's like Clooney. He's like Clooney. That dude, until he actually got married, we're like, oh.
Clooney's married, too.
Yeah, Clooney's married. He is, but he was rumored to be married like all kinds of times. Oh, he's going to get married. No, he's not. Going to get married. No, he's not. Then he finally got married. I picked Derek Jeter.
Really?
Just because of the dating aspect.
Okay.
This dude dated Dimes for 20 years, and nobody has any evidence of it. You have no idea what his game is.
But what if it was like Derek Jeter, The Apprentice, shows you how to like build a business or something? Do you want to watch that?
No, it has to be dating. Like you said, you want to see what dates he goes on. It has to be dating for Derek Jeter. Has to be.
Still, mine would be Kobe.
Not intrigued at all following Manziel around?
No, that obviously.
It's a train wreck.
Absolutely.
Right. That would probably be the one that garnered the most attention. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like any producer who signed on for that just – is going straight to hell.
Oh, yeah. There's a special wing for him.
You know, you're just enabling him.
I mean, isn't that the Kardashians? Isn't that all these other shows? I mean.
Yeah, I mean.
See, here's the thing. The majority of reality TV viewers are female. They're female, okay? So it makes sense that they would be interested or intrigued by what's happening with the ladies of the Kardashians. I don't know if men are going to watch Johnny Manziel after one episode. Because there's not going to be any football involved in it.
That's true. It's not like Hard Knocks.
Right, exactly.
Marshawn Lynch would probably just sit around and smoke blunts all day. That's kind of what I figured. He's going to sit around and play Madden or something.
Eat Skittles.
All right, we got one more. Jay Ross. Eat Skittles, yes. Yeah. That coincides with the text I read.
Yes, and the blunts.
All right, free agency is here. We're now, 8 hours away or so, a little bit less than that, from finding out where the free agents will go. LeBron James is going to end up in Cleveland. But let's play fantasy world here, guys. If there was no salary cap, so unlimited price, LeBron would deserve a lot, and a lot more, I guess, based on what the market is. But what is that number? What would be the number if there was no cap that you say, LeBron, I'm signing you for this?
I immediately came up with a number in my head, and I think it's extremely low. We're going to open the phone lines for you, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. The text lines are already going crazy. We'll read some of those in the next segment.
And we'll just do 1 year. We're just saying 1 year.
That's a tough one because I feel like LeBron is more important to the league, but not to fans. Fans, I feel like, will pay whatever they have to pay to see Steph and Clay.
I think you're so off.
Fans really are like clamoring. When Kobe comes through, you're like, I got to see Kobe.
That's what people think about LeBron.
I don't feel like casual fans do. I feel like hardcore basketball insiders love him. the bat, the league loves him. But I don't think you're...
I think you're crazy.
Okay, but how do you explain then Steph just completely eclipsing him in popularity? Because your casual fan sees, look at all that dribbling and those shots.
Who said he eclipsed him in popularity?
We did. We had this exact conversation about a month and a half ago.
I don't recall.
We had this exact... That's how you win MVP twice. It's popularity. Right?
That's popularity among sports writers. You think he's more popular amongst fans? You think if, okay, I have an opportunity to go see LeBron James, I can go to one game.
Yep.
I'm in an Eastern Conference. Well, I guess that analogy doesn't work. I can only go to one game all year.
Yep.
I'm going to pick either Cleveland or Golden State. You think more people are going to pick Golden State than Cleveland?
Absolutely. They're just sexier.
I absolutely disagree.
They're just sexier.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. What would LeBron James make in a capless NBA world? We'll give you our answers, and we want yours next here on The Lowdown. Monster Energy's Aftershock Music Festival is coming October 22nd and 23rd at Discovery Park, featuring Tool, Slayer, Avenged Sevenfold, Korn. No one's there for that one. Primus, Disturbed, and more. Tickets are on sale for more info. Go to AftershockConcert.com.
So
all right.
We only have 10 minutes before the coach comes
up. That's right. John Calipari is going to join us at the bottom of this hour. So let's establish this here. Jason Ross, three the hard way. LeBron James, open market.
Yeah.
No cap.
No cap.
What would you pay him?
What's the number?
The number that immediately came to my mind, and I feel like it's so off and so wrong, is $55
million. Whoa.
Well, I was thinking 50.
And you said you thought 55 was low?
I thought it was low.
Okay.
Yeah, I say 50.
And you said 50?
Yeah, I say 50.
Jay Ross?
I was in the 40s, so I guess I was low. I was thinking like 40 or 45, but.
I feel like what he generates for the league, what he generates for the city of Cleveland, is likely far greater than 50. Certainly bigger than 27.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, yeah, I get you on that.
And the discrepancy is more my issue with, again, I'll keep using Harrison Barnes. Good for him. Anybody can get it, get it. If he gets $22 million, great. But LeBron could get 27. There's a bigger gap between those two. It needs to be.
Let's reform the question a little bit. Let's say you paid a guy after the season as opposed to before.
Mm-hmm.
What was this past year worth for LeBron James?
Yeah, exactly.
What would you pay him for what he just accomplished?
Yeah, I know there was a time where, this was years ago, someone had suggested or even theorized, what if you could pay athletes, like if the team had a lump sum and then kind of I don't know if the Cavs were given $300 million, divide it. Well, okay, LeBron's probably at the table going, start here.
Yeah.
What am I getting? And how would you do that? It's interesting, but that's where you can get some bickering. But
it's an insane thought. It is absolutely insane. But how do you put a value on what he did this past year?
I mean, if we pose the same question involving Michael Jordan from 1997, 1998.
Are we creeping up towards 80? Are we creeping up into those, ridiculously high numbers?
Well, it's hard to say they're not worth it.
But
right?
It's hard. And then, it's ridiculous. This is so absurd to actually say this out loud. The money was different then.
Yes.
When Jordan played, the money in the NBA was very different. So if we assume he's playing with today's money in 1990, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I don't know how you tell him he's not worth.
Yeah. He was the league.
No,
yeah,
totally.
It was the entire league.
Especially after
every
the
team
2 years
should
off.
Have to pay Michael Jordan in that case. He would be pushing $100 million. Every team has to pay him.
That's different. Yeah, Michael Jordan is different. Absolutely. He would totally be worth $100 million in one NBA season. Absolutely.
Okay, so you had in the 40s, you had 50, and I had 55.
I'm probably low.
I think you are low. I thought 55 was low.
Okay.
But my thing about LeBron is
– I don't know where you – but what do you compare it to? Like, where do you draw the line and say, oh, whoa, 58? That's a little too high there, LeBron. Yeah.
You know, and I guess you do like we were talking, during the break. You call every single NBA sales office and you find out, okay, which game has a higher ticket demand?
Right.
When the Warriors come to town or when the Cavs come to town?
Yeah, and we got a tweet by that sent it to all. Warriors better team to see. The key word there is team. LeBron is a far better player to see.
True. But, see, I don't consider – LeBron is he's the best player on the planet. I've been saying that for months. But As far as entertaining fans, he's not, in my opinion, that exciting to watch.
Oh, you are nuts.
No, stop, man.
You're crazy.
Hold on, because what he does, we talked about this during the finals. Yeah. You're like, you got amnesia. We just talked about this.
Sports radio, it happens. I also said the Kings shouldn't sign Rajon Rondo, and I said that earlier in the week. What's your point?
My point is, we said this watching him. It's like he's not hitting a lot of jumpers. He's not hitting a lot of crazy acrobatic layups. So when people are watching him, they're like, it's, you know, it's power basketball. So it's really not that flashy or exciting to see unless you see, like, the steal falling on the ground, getting up, and then the crazy dunk. And you're like, oh, my goodness. But, you know, other than that, it's not like watching Steph dribble you into a circle and hit that three. It's not the same for
obviously
fans.
You have the ability to go a lot to a lot of basketball games. Let's make the argument you have the opportunity to sit courtside for one game with Malcolm.
Okay.
You take him to see the Golden State Warriors or you take him to see the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I have to take him to see Golden State because he loves Steph. They got the same skin tone, man. Mm. They look alike.
They do. They do kind of look alike.
My son said that. He's like, I like him. He looks like me.
That's very true. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. John Calipari joins us at 1:30. Jerry, what's going on?
Hey, man, I'm making the commute. Loving the show, as always, guys.
Appreciate you.
As a fan, what I think LeBron is worth. Now, I've never been on LeBron's bandwagon, but he earned a lot of my respect this last season. But that thing that was on the cover of the Sports Illustrated, I promised you guys one trophy. I made good on my promise. That's a red flag to me, at least if I was a Cleveland fan. But as far as what I think LeBron is personally worth, he's worth the salary of the starting five players for the team with the worst record in the league. I think that's fair.
Yep.
That's actually pretty interesting.
I don't know what that amount is, but I think that's what he's worth.
All right. We appreciate you, Jerry.
Yeah. In that case, for Philly, it may not have been that
high. I was getting ready to say for Philly, they might have to double that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I understand the point. That's valid. I like that.
LeBron's block wasn't entertaining?
That's not where. Yeah, sure it was. It's one block and one, you know.
He blocked Steph earlier in the game.
Sure. Those are fantastic. But once again, those are not the things that you're necessarily going to see on all the highlights. It's only on the highlight reel because it was super important and it was pivotal changed the course of what was happening with the series.
I hate when this happens.
But it's because, to you, Steph is part of the Warriors.
Yes.
So if we removed each team, let's put both guys on the worst team. Put them on Philly. If LeBron's coming in with Philly, are you going to watch LeBron and the Sixers or Steph and the Sixers?
You're
going to
watch LeBron.
Okay.
Because he's a difference maker.
But it's because of the Warriors
show. Yeah, the Warriors show.
Got it.
You're
going to
go see that show.
Ken is right about LeBron's game. He would actually be perfect with the Spurs next to Tim Duncan.
Because they're just fundamental power, just sound, not really flashy, just making things happen.
I think it's very exciting to watch LeBron flopping on the ground and crying.
Come on. Huh? Come on.
That was a text from Text Nation right there at 44-1140. You can get at us also. We have a few minutes left, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. University of Kentucky coach John Calipari will join us at the bottom of the hour. At least we're keeping our fingers crossed that John Calipari is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Generally,
he's busy.
We're the one who make the phone calls.
Yeah.
This is one of those cases where they're making the phone call.
Okay.
So we're hoping they're on time.
You know what? I think we have a good shot since so many of his players are here.
Yes.
Right?
And
I
have
saying?
It. Yeah, yeah. I've heard some of the family favorites are here in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And we'll touch on that as
I'm sorry.
That's all I was going to say.
Go ahead. Okay, I'm sorry, man. I was going to ask you Jason. I don't know.
Ridiculous.
Has the coach been here to see many games?
I know personally that I was at a game in D.C. And it was when I think George Karl was the coach getting ready to interview him. And then I'm like, wait, why is there's Calipari. Why is he here?
Mm-hmm.
And, so he's seen sometimes them in other spots. But here, I don't remember.
Okay.
If he has, I don't remember.
Okay.
A couple of quick updates away from basketball. Meant to touch on this in the opening segment. It is a big deal. Clayton Kershaw is going to the DL.
Yeah.
Tell him what he got. Tell him what they gave him.
An epidural.
That means you are in serious pain.
That's all bad.
Yeah.
Ooh. Your whole lower, just, all that is just.
The Dodgers are hopeful he'll return after the All-Star break.
Mm.
Well, see, there's a reason he lost.
Yeah, and the Giants slide is okay because the Dodgers are really nothing without him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Giants did lose again last night, by the way, as I'm sure everyone is aware of, in a game that I found funny just because of Jake Peavy's reaction. When they took Jake Peavy out of the game, I stopped watching.
Yeah.
I was just like, all right, the entertainment portion of this program is over. The A's are up big, and Jake Peavy's going to the showers.
Does anyone remember, was there
I feel like there was a situation where he threw a pitch, it got slammed, and Buster Posey reacted because he missed the spot. No, Buster didn't catch last night, did he? The Brown catch? Whoa. I think Buster was back in the lineup.
Yeah.
I think there was a scene where he threw a pitch, it got slammed, and Buster reacted like,
oh, okay.
Like, because like violently, because you missed the spot.
Yeah.
Like you
everybody
missed the location.
Was a little sour last yeah. night.
44-11-40. Kings season ticket holder up a level. Warriors tickets sold for $340. Cavs didn't sell.
Huh.
You see what I'm saying?
But that's a team. I've seen almost every game that LeBron James has played in this city with few exceptions. I have flown back from Connecticut to see LeBron James play here.
Because you are a hardcore hoops fan. You're not necessarily a casual hoops fan.
And wait, did LeBron play this year here? Is that a game he was out?
I feel like
there was a game he missed here, but I don't know if it was this year or the year before.
No,
he played.
He played here.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think I was at it. I think we were all at it. Everybody, yeah.
Well, I was drunk.
John Calipari, we hope he's going to join us next here on The Lowdown. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, my name is Damian Barling. We appreciate you tuning in, being part of the show. We've wrapping up our Three the Hard Way discussion. We've talked extensively about free agency. There's a couple of names that we haven't touched on that we're going to have to. One of them is a pretty big name. You know, Rondo is really intriguing.
Yes.
Because of the player that he is and his fit. And I know it's extra intriguing because his best fit might be here in Sacramento. That might be the best case scenario for both of them. But we'll dig more into that later. Dwight Howard also, we'll touch on that. But we're happy to be joined by the University of Kentucky coach, John Calipari. And, Coach, sources close to the Calipari family have told me that your wife's favorite player is one DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, don't tell the other players that. We're not on the air yet.
Oh, no.
This is the pre-interview,
yeah,
Coach. It's the pre-interview.
Yeah, don't tell the other players. But, you know, and her thing was, like, after a game, would you quit yelling at him? I said, what are you talking about? She said, you're yelling at him the whole game. I said, are you watching him? And she'd go, well, like no one else does anything wrong. Yell at somebody else. You're just yelling at him. And she, every time he'd come in the house, she'd give him a hug. And, you know, I love you, DeMar. I'm like, stop, man, stop. He is a great-hearted, emotional, want-to-win, you know, and at times frustrating, but you just love them.
Something tells me your wife wouldn't necessarily love sitting in the crowd with the Sacramento audience during some of these games over the past year. Because there's a lot of yelling in DeMarcus's direction.
Yeah, you know what? And let me say this. And I've said this so many times. Like, it was like when John Wall went to Washington or, you know, all of a sudden John Wall was supposed to add 15, 20 wins. One player? Are you crazy? And it's the same there. I mean, he goes in and he's trying to figure out these guys when they come to the league. The first thing is, who am I? Like, what can I do? You think they just walk in and know. They don't know. So their first thing is, let me establish who the heck I am and what am I and what can I do? And then try to do it over 82 games when you're used to playing 35. Mm-hmm. And then you're having less practices and more games and it's more about tape than being on the court videotape. I mean, you know, and now I knew, and I told Jerry Colangelo, if you put him on that USA team, he will be an all-star because he's going to be around other really professional guys, and he's going to share, and he's going to understand, and he'll do whatever he has to win, and it's proven true. And now it's just, you know what, you're putting the pieces together. And again, because you got three of my guys, I want Sacramento to win so bad. I wish it wasn't so far so I could come to. I got Phoenix and you guys. It's so far, I can't get to the games. But, you know, and Willie was in and spent time with us probably 3 weeks ago. He was in town. He played pickup with the guys and, you know, just happy with, you know, his progress. But, you know, this is when you take kids that are 19 years old, I don't know if you just heard what I said. 19.
Yeah.
Don't expect them to be 25. They're not 25. They're 19.
Yeah,
they do dumb
sense.
Things. They say dumb things. They, you know, they act like a 19-year-old, and some of them act like a 16-year-old. But it is what it is. They're young.
With flashes of a 12-year-old there mixed in
every once in a while. Yeah. Hey, Coach. You know, just listening to you talk,
and hearing about how your wife feels about DeMarcus Cousins, the most interesting relationship or connection that I've ever seen between coach and player is when you go to recruit them. You go into their home. You go into the living room. You meet their family. You see what they're all about. I've always been intrigued by that process. What is that like for you? And give me a comparison when you first started recruiting trips to what it's like for you now when you take that trip and go into someone's home to meet their family.
It's a great question. It's a lot different right now. But let me just tell you the thing for me, and I come from, my grandparents were Italian immigrants, did not speak English, came to Ellis Island. My parents are high school educated. I'm coaching at Kentucky, and I have a chance to help families and make a difference in people's lives. Come on, man. I mean, I just wanted to be a high school coach and a teacher. That's all I wanted to do, and it's kind of evolved into this. But when I walk in a home, I want to hear their story. I want them to tell me, give me your family history. And a lot of times there's crying. So what it does for me, when I say players first, I mean it. And someone will say, well, he doesn't care about winning. He only cares about getting guys in the draft. If that's your indictment of me, I'm pretty happy, even though it's not true, if that's what you're saying. But let me say this. In seven, we've won more games than any team. We've been to more Final Fours. We won more league championships. We won the national title. So you can't say that. It's not true. But when you are in that home, and you see that story and feel that story with the families, there's nothing that has more of an impact than being in that green room and now knowing that family can breathe for the first time in their lives. Now, if you're a lawyer and doctor, or you went to private school, you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But if you've been in generational poverty your whole life and your family has a chance to break through and change the whole direction of not only your families, but family, and so forth, educational-wise and every other way, to get a chance to live the American dream, let me tell you, that means more than anything, and that's what brings joy to me. Now, you ask me now, well, when I can walk in and say, you know what, we've had 20 players leave after a year and all 20 were drafted in the first round, and it's about $1 billion in salaries, but we've also graduated 14 players in 7 years. We had three graduate in 3 years. We've had a 3.0 grade point average for six of the last 7 years. So it's more than that. It's about teaching servant leadership. It's about preparing them to play great in that league. And you have to admit, I can say, look at my guys compared to any other players. My guys are doing better than anybody. And so, you know, like I said, I don't mind recruiting because I get a chance to change lives. And can I just tell you, not everybody comes with us. They don't. Some of them get brainwashed before they come to meet with us. And some of them just want to score 30 a game. I mean, DeMarcus is still mad at me. I didn't let him score more. Still mad today. Every time he shoots a three, I didn't let him shoot threes. Every time he shoots a three, my face is in his mind. There you go. Okay. And so I even got to say this. We've had two players left this year and we're in the first round. So the 18 that left us after 1 year, you ready? Nine of them scored more in the NBA than they did with us.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
So They have to share. You have to come together. You have to be a good guy. You have to understand, like, he was with John Wall, Eric Bledsoe, Patrick Patterson. He with Darius Miller and DeAndre Ligon. I mean, he was with Marcus was. He had to share, and you know what he did? He shared. And when he needed to dominate, he did. But he trusted us and me that I had his back.
Coach, I'm curious about, okay, DeMarcus makes sense going early. Anthony Davis, you mentioned John Wall, even Willie coming here. All those guys go lottery. How about a guy like Scal who comes out here, picked by the Kings? How's that discussion where, yeah, there's money to be made. You're going to be a guy that's going to go in the draft, but we don't know if it's lottery or late, like the Kings got him at 28. How's that conversation?
Well, what I do at the end of each year is when it's during the year, it's all about the team. We're not talking anything. I'm not worried about this. We're talking team and we're trying to win. The minute the year ends, I mean, that day, that evening, the next morning, we start talking about their future, which has nothing to do with the basketball program now. This is individually their future. with Scow, his background, if at some point you two want to cry, let him tell you about the earthquake that he lived through, thought he was going to die and his family would. Let him tell you the story, you'll cry. He came to the United States. Are you ready? He had a back issue. He played 1 year, like his ninth grade year. He didn't even play basketball those next 2 years, like to play high school organized coach. So now all of a sudden his first step is Kentucky. That's your first chance to get on the court where everybody's Super Bowl is our game. And you're now trying to learn all this, get in shape, get physically right, get mentally right, and with no let up. And you know what? That kid never quit. He never quit. He never blamed. He just kept trying. And you know what? It was difficult. And that shows me what he's going to be. And I'll tell you, I said to him, you know, what if you slip through the lottery? He said, Coach, I can do this. I'm built for this. What you guys did, if I can get through that, I can get through this. And so, you know, you sit there, and I was, you know, sick for the kid. You know, they had talked about 9, 10, 11, 12. But I will say this. If he had come back to school, Sacramento couldn't have gotten him. They would have never been able to draft him because he would have gone before. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, what you have is developing a player. You got some good size. You got another asset. He is like a stretch. I'm going to tell him he's got a new position. He's a stretch five. He's a stretch five who's 7 foot tall. Each year, each month, you're going to say, wow, he is really getting better. I think it's a perfect team to be on because you got those other bigs. And let him come on at his pace. He's 19. Don't act like he's 25. But I think he's a heck of an asset to get at that number.
Were you working on draft night to get him drafted, Coach? Were you talking to teams that night?
Oh, yeah. You know I was.
Yeah.
You know I was.
You talk about Scow slipping. I want to ask you about Jamal Murray. Now, Coach John Calipari is joining us here on the Lowdown. I know you love your players, but yeah, I heard you talk many times going into the draft, how great you thought Jamal Murray was and how high you thought he should go. Did it bother you that he didn't go until 7?
Well, you know what's great about it? It didn't bother him. Look, I want these kids to all be drafted 1, 2, 3, 5. I want them all in the top 10 because now those teams are absolutely invested. They got to make it work for that kid because they look bad. That's why I like him in the top 10 picks. He could have cared less. If you sat at the table, he said, Coach, stop it. I'm good. And so now he ends up going to Denver. And again, I said it from day one. I thought he was the safest pick because his age, he's 19, because his body, 6'5", and his strength, okay, size 17 shoe, big hands, his ability to score the ball, I believe he'll be the leading scoring rookie this year. All right, because, and again, unless Denver doesn't play him, and I believe they will, that's what I said. Guys that went before him, you know, and they want to talk about Scow's number. The one kid that played at, I think, in Israel averaged 3 points and 2 rebounds. Well, what about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one said, well, that's different. Well, it ain't different.
Yeah.
You know, he averaged less than Scow averaged. And I would say there were guys that went in front of Jamal, and they were older, which tells me there may be a team or two that's thinking, look, man, we got to bust through. And we need an older guy that's more ready right now, which is fine. But, again, he went 7. I was hoping he'd go 3 or 4. But I've had to sit through that. And, again, I was on the phone with that one. I was on the phone with Tyler. I'll tell you what, Phoenix getting Tyler Ulis, are you I mean, at 34 and for Tyler, you guys know because you know the league, you're better off going 34 than 29, 28, 30 because you're locked into a 4-year deal at those numbers. He just signed for 2 years in Phoenix for almost as much as those guys were signing for, but they're locked into 4. And if he comes out and plays well, he'd get a $50 million deal in 2 years or more. So, you know, it played out. Plus, he gets to play with Devin Booker. And let me say this. They will live together. They will eat together. They will travel together. That's two peas in a pod, those two.
Hey, Coach, How much pride do you feel, or how great is it when they bring that NBA game back to Kentucky and you see your boys playing for NBA teams and they're back in Kentucky doing that?
Well, we bring them back for alumni games, and they come back to sign autographs. They'll never stop that. They get low on cash. They're coming right back to Lexington, to Kentucky, to sign autographs somewhere. But these kids, everybody talks about, well, you know, they're only there 1 year. I want to know and meet any player that's more loyal to their program than my guys. And these guys come back, and let me tell you something. They are in touch with our current players, last year's players. You know, when Eric Bledsoe hit Tyler Ulis, you know, during the draft. Don't worry about it. You use it as fuel. I mean, these guys watch and they want us to do well, and they stay on top of it. And, you know, it's great to see them. I don't know if you watched Karl Towns win the NBA skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Anthony and DeMarcus are jumping on him, and they're pushing Draymond Green out of here. You ain't part of this. Get out of here. John Wall. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're all in there, and it's really good to see and know that they all went through the same thing. They all sacrificed for each other. They all gave up a little bit of their game for the good of all of them. And they know now it didn't hurt them, and they learned a great lesson. And that's what's great to see.
You know, Coach, I'm going to shift gears for a quick sidebar of a question here. I spent about 12 years of my life covering horse racing in addition to other sports. You've been to Keeneland. These guys have not. Tell them what it's like at Keeneland.
Keeneland is, it's an event. You know, when they have that stuff in that Keeneland, what is it, 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's like 2.5 weeks. That's about it, yeah.
I mean, it basically shuts down our town, and the grounds are gorgeous, and it's, you know, everybody's in there and they're spending days, and it's different than going to the Preakness or the other. This is for 2 weeks. This is a long time, and it is unbelievable. The way, you know, everybody's, you know, and I'm into horses, even though I have, you know, the same comment, you know, if you want to get into horses, it's the quickest way from being a billionaire to a millionaire.
There you go.
I mean, these guys are investing in this stuff. So I'm not into the horses that way, but I enjoy the environment.
Well, Coach, before we let you go, can you explain the poop in the ice cream?
I'm sorry, what?
What?
The poop in the ice cream.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to give you a story real quick. I had a kid I called in at the University of Massachusetts, and he kept screwing up, and he was doing stuff. And I called him in. I said, I'm going to make this clear to you. There's a bucket of ice cream, and there's a bucket of poop. You could put all the ice cream in that poop you want. It's not changing. That's poop. But if you put one pinch of that ice cream in that poop, or that poop, I'm sorry, the poop in that ice cream, it's ruined. That ice cream is ruined. And I looked at him and I said, son, do you understand you are the poop in our ice cream? That's what you are.
There it is.
That was my poop in ice cream. And he looked at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
You're ruining my ice cream sundae, son.
After listening to Coach Calipari, I'm convinced every Kentucky player is going to the Hall of Fame.
And I want to go to Kentucky.
I want to go to Kentucky. Yeah. Coach, I got some eligibility left.
Let's do this.
I might be the poop in the ice cream. We appreciate
you. I got a 5.5-year-old son who has really big feet, Coach, so you're going to want to make a recruiting trip to our house. He's 5.5 years old. He has huge feet.
I'm winding this career down. He better be one and done if he's five. Yeah.
We appreciate you, Coach. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. University of Kentucky coach John Calipari. If you listen to that interview, in its entirety, and if you didn't, go to khdk.com here in a little bit and listen to it. There is no question why he gets the guys he does.
Yeah.
I was hyped. Scal Labissiere is going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He will be the greatest player in the history of the Sacramento Kings.
Hey, listen, let me tell you a story. I mean, he's a salesman, but he's good at it. He loves his guys. There's nothing phony in the way that he approaches it. He's like, one and done, I'm going to make you rich.
You asked about recruiting.
Yeah.
He just recruited us.
Yeah, he sure did.
He recruited everyone listening to this to love Scal Labissiere, to love every single player that comes out of that Kentucky program.
Yeah.
I would love to hear recruiting stories. I would love to hear, because you can't necessarily tell them on the radio,
right.
But I'd love to hear, okay, when you went to someone's house, whose mom made the worst meal for you?
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, who's like made like the craziest thing? You're like, oh my goodness, yeah. What is going on here? This is amazing.
And you know the way human nature is, we're all built this way, unfortunately, where you can have all the success, but you know there's one or two that got away from him, that eats at him.
Still mad.
Like, oh, I had this player, and I didn't get him.
Well, he mentioned like there's some guys that are already brainwashed before I get there.
Yep. Yeah.
He can't tame him, can't turn him,
but
can't
that
change
is,
him.
When he said that, the description, too, is so true. I remember that from All-Star Weekend when Karl Anthony Towns won. The skills and like DeMarcus is in there, and John, and it's like that's our community. That's our little fraternity of Kentucky guys. Get out of here, Draymond Green. I mean, I know you're big, but no, this is Kentucky.
And
that
pride
you can't
that.
Separate that.
Yeah.
And the Kings are filled with Kentucky players.
He knows how to turn it on, man.
He does. I mean, he started selling me on that Booker, Ulis, Bledsoe.
Devin Booker,
yeah. They're going to
like Kings,
title.
Hey, Vlade, go get Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Get him on. No, he's a really good player. Oh, man, he's so good.
He's the future there in Phoenix, right? He's the
part of it.
He's the guy.
He might be. He might be. You know, it'll be.
That was awesome.
It was. It'll be great to see. I don't want to say it'll be great because – that's not – it'll be interesting to see what Phoenix does. They have their young coach, their young roster,
right,
and a couple of bucks to spend.
But you know,
are they an intriguing place to play is the question. Can they attract free agents?
Yeah.
What will they be able to do over the course of the next few days? Free agency starts in 7 hours.
You know what? I'll bet you some money that if the Kings somehow, by the grace of God, make the playoffs this year, Coach would be here to see that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Coach would fly here to
see
that.
You know, you know when we were talking about that as we were kind of going around trying to figure out how you know, because the truth is, what did we ask? Four questions?
Probably, yeah.
And I think he talked for about 15 minutes, and we asked him four questions.
If that.
So it was like, I was like, well, we're going to have to wrap this up. I don't want to keep him on too long. I know he's doing a bunch of interviews. But he was talking about not being able to get out here because it's so far. The only thing that was running through my mind is would Vivek would personally get on his private plane, fly to pick you up, and then fly you back here to make sure you saw whatever game you wanted to see.
I think he would, absolutely.
I don't think.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
Confirmed.
I'm very well. I asked him, you know, we asked him if he was making calls on draft night. I should have asked him how many people were calling you on draft night.
Well, I know you brought up the value, and there's got to be value to that. This year it's the Pelicans, the Kings and the
Wizards
are going to do
the
it again.
Pelicans before.
Yeah, but that's John Wall and the three Kings that are Kentucky guys. That just validates what they do. And to have all those guys come back, he's like, yeah, if anybody's broke, come back here and sign autographs.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. They know how to get their money.
Oh, absolutely. We've talked about the Lexington.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Right.
Big Blue Nation.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing that competes with that is horse racing.
In Kentucky?
It's the only thing that's close. Big Blue
I get
Nation
the feeling,
is still tops.
I get the feeling you like horse racing.
Hmm. It's all right.
It's all right. We'll come back. We'll reset everything. Hour number three coming up next here on Sports 1140 KHDK.